The thought is childlike humility. And he's reading in Matthew 18:1-5.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me.
Whosoever shall humble himself is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, humility is a way of looking at ourselves. When you think about it, we think of ourselves. If we think of ourselves with a haughty attitude, that's pride, isn't it? But when we think of ourselves as nothing before God, which we are, that's a humble way of thinking of ourselves. So you might think in your mind, why do I need to be humble? What value is it going to give me? Why is it important? You might think all these things. But Jesus says that whoever is greatest in the kingdom of God should humble himself. Read that verse right there again.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
He wants us to humble ourselves as a little child. And when we think of little children, we think of somebody that's basically dependent upon the adults. They do not usually have an arrogant attitude about themselves. That's a little child. He didn't say child. He said little child. So we wanna have the kind of humility that a little child has. And they are usually dependent on their parents and others that's above them or over them. But they also they don't have this attitude toward themselves that sometimes adults have, you know, I'm great. You know, a lot of times older people think of themselves highly. If you step on my toe, you're going to hear from me, right? That's kind of the attitude older people have. But little children are not like that. Another thing I was thinking about little children, if they sometimes get into little disagreements or arguments or whatever, and you look up, the parents, if they stay out of it, the children go back and they forget about it and they're just playing and enjoying one another. We need to have that kind of humility. I believe if we have the humility that God is calling for us to be, it's going to affect our relationship with other people, and it's going to affect how we react and how we respond and our attitude to others when they cross us. If some people, if you cross them, they X you out of their book. For the rest of your life, they don't want to have too much and nothing to do with you. And there are some people that years, and it goes down in the lineage of their family, they don't get along with certain people because grandpa and this person or grandma and that person didn't get along, so we don't get along. We don't want to be that way. We want to be humble as the little child, where if we do something, somebody does something to us, we can forgive them and we can still love them anyway. I was thinking about how those little children, now, if an adult get in it, they might say, you don't talk to them no more. They don't do you like that. Child come in, they say what somebody did, and the adult get in and say, well, you're not going to play with them no more. You're not going to talk to them no more. They're not going to be your friend. But if the adults stay out of it, the two children, they forgive each other and go on. I think a lot of times when people have bitterness in their heart, it's an attitude toward himself. I'm bitter toward this person. I don't like them. I don't have any dealings with them because they did such and such to me. When you think about to me, that means I'm somebody and you don't do me like that. So that's not humility. Humility looks at yourself as that I'm just a vessel. I'm just, you know, dust. They can get over it. And humility is very important for us as far as our relationship to God and our relationship to one another. So let's go to Isaiah 57 and 15. We want to see how God looks at humility. What does God think of humility? We see that Jesus tells us we need to humble ourselves as this little child to be great in the kingdom of God. But God Almighty is the high one. We're not high. We're just dust. All nations before God is as a drop in the bucket. That's how important we are. But when we think we're so important, it's going to make, for one thing, we won't be humble and we're going to have problems with others. But God looks at humility. He values it. And I want us to read this scripture.
57 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
For thus said the Lord, for thus said the high and lofty one, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite.
I live. God lives with the humble. If you want God to live with you, Brother Brent was saying how he told the Lord that he loved him and he wants to live for, how did you put that?
I said prayer this morning that I love you, Jesus, and I will do anything for you.
Right. But you want him to stay with you, right? And in order for him to do that, you have to be humble. Right. He said, I'm the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity. This world is not eternal. It's going to pass away. But God lives in eternity. He is, and he was, and he always will be. That's God. And so I'm the high and lofty one. We can't walk around and think I'm high and I'm something when I'm nothing. You're just fooling yourself when you think that. But he says, even, this is the way I look at it, even though I am high and lofty and I inhabit this eternity, I will dwell with the humble. I dwell with the humble. Read that scripture again. I dwell with the humble. I'll be here with the humble. And I'll be there for the humble.
I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one.
So if I'm humble, he's going to dwell with me. He's going to revive my spirit. He's going to give me what I need. He's going to be there for me. You want to know that somebody is there for you. But most of all, we want to know that God is there for us. And he's there for us if we're humble. If we think we're something, when we're nothing, we're just deceiving ourselves. Now let's go to Philippians 2 and 3. Read to 8.
Philippians 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Stop just a minute. How are you going to think of the next person better than you? That's really not the natural man. It's going to take God to have that kind of attitude. Let each esteem other. That would mean let me esteem other people, and that means the others esteem me, right? So we're looking at each other as they're better than themselves. He said, let each esteem other better than themselves. Read on.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Look at this. Look not every man on his own things. What does that mean? That's like, I'm not looking at who I am and what I can do. You know, I can make the best cakes of anybody. All of my cakes I make are better than other people. I mean, I can decorate the best cakes. Sister Wiki, I used to decorate cakes after cakes after cakes. I made a lot of wedding cakes. I could have an exalted feeling. My cakes, they look better and they taste better than anybody else's. I just don't even like the looks. Now look at that cake, how sloppy it is. I would have been able to do it like this. That's looking on my own things, right? But he doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to look at others. I'm not going to sit there and just judge myself as being so good and so holy. I can say everything right. I can do everything right. My cakes or whatever I'm doing, it's going to be perfect. I'm a perfectionist. And it's going to look good. That's looking on my own thing. But instead, I need to have the spirit of looking at other things. You know, I really love the way you decorate, Sister Wiki. These are the kinds of ways God wants us to be. Oh, you know what? You made a beautiful, whatever you made. That was so beautiful. Spend our time looking at the things, the good things others can do. That's exactly what it's meaning. Instead of looking on how good I can do, what I can say, but look at, oh, you know what? I really like the way you do those things. I like the way you say those things. I like the way you handle those things. I'm busy looking at on things of others. That's how I can look at others better than myself. And this is humility. This is what the Lord wants. You want to finish reading that?
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and having found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Look how Jesus did. He set the perfect example of humility. He was equal with God. He didn't even think it was robbery to be equal with God. He's in the Trinity, the Godhead. And yet he was willing to come down into this rugged world and step down, so to speak, lower than the angels. Now he's as a man. You know, we're not equal to the angels. We're under the angels. But Jesus was willing, being the Son of God, being in the, when Jesus, God made the world, Jesus was right there, he said, and when he made man, he said, let us make man. That was God and Jesus. It's the Trinity. He's part of the Trinity. And yet he was willing to humble himself as a man. As a man, do you think that the angels look up to men as something great? No, we're lower than the angels. Jesus was willing to come all the way down to be humble himself as a man, and even farther. He took on the form of a servant. You know, when he came down here as a man, he could have come, "I am the Son of God." And everybody bowed to me, and you do what I say. Yes, we do what Jesus said. But his spirit was one of humility. And it says he took on the form of a servant. He could have taken on the form of a king, which he was, and have his servants fight for him and everything, but he didn't. He humbled himself. That takes some humility to be part of the Godhead and then to come all the way down to be a man. And then on top of that, to be a servant, not just a regular man, but a servant. And then more than that, he humbles himself and became obedient, even to the death of the cross. Do you know what kind of death that is? That dying on the cross was a humiliating death. Nothing, no honor in that. It's humiliating. If you see those pictures, you see barely any clothes. Can you imagine what that felt like? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But yet he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. So this is our example. The next time we feel like we're somebody, think of Jesus. Think of what he went through. Think of how he was willing to humble himself. The next time somebody hurts our feelings, think of the Lord. Think of what he went through and how he humbled himself. We need to humble ourselves when people hurt our feelings. If we don't, we become bitter and angry and upset. And when you get upset with how somebody treated you or how they spoke to you or how they act like you don't have any sense, because sometimes they do that, humble ourselves and become willing to come, become obedient and be willing to suffer those things. Now let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humility is very important, and it's going to take our attitude, a different attitude toward ourselves. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to make a change in our minds and in our ways of thinking about ourselves.
1 Peter 5
and 6.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
That's right. That's our job. Our job is to humble ourselves. The Lord then will bless us. There's going to be blessings. We're going to find that we'll be close to the Lord. If you see somebody that's very spiritual and you admire them, it's because they're humble. We can't be spiritual. We can't be what God would have us to be without humility. But he will exalt us in due time. Just like Jesus, in that scripture in Philippians, it says, whom God has exalted and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He humbled himself all the way down. He bore the cross, he bore the shame, he bore all of this people spitting in his face and making fun of him, putting a crown of thorns on his head, putting a robe on him, and hell king and all that. He bore all of that in humility. But then God exalted him. Today, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And one day, Jesus himself is going to burst through the clouds and he's going to gather his people. God has exalted him. God, if we'll wait on the Lord, he's going to bless us. He's going to lift us up. We can be very low. The lower we get, the more he'll be pleased with us and with us. And the lower we get, God will bless us. He will, in the end, will be exalted. Do you know? We're not looking for all the doing it for exaltation. But don't you know what it's going to be like to be picked out of the crowd? Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that's prepared for you. You got all the people around you that's weeping and wailing. And the Lord said, come, you blessed of my Father. You've been humble. You've done what the Lord wants you to do. Now you receive the blessing. It's a wonderful thing. Humility may not look so interesting to people. It may look like the scum of the earth, but it's so worth it when it comes to God, because God will be with us. And not only that, there's going to come a time he's going to lift us up. Let's go now to Romans 12:3. I'll be honest with you, I don't think the devil wanted me to preach this message, because he knows what humility will do for us. And I'm willing to do the will of God. I had to fight against him. He tried to make me feel not, he just didn't want me to do it. But I had to fight anyway and obey the Lord.
Romans 12:3.
Mm-hmm.
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
If we do anything, and people sometimes will kind of say, well, that was good, you did that good and all that, don't think highly of yourself. But we need to think lowly, as God has given us the measure. Whatever God did is him, not us. We cannot do anything of ourselves. Let's go to song number 201. Let's read, sing the first verse.
Humility, thou
secret of unknown to proud and humble. Where shouts of blessing never fail and glories never depart. Oh, make thy bless up, oh, with me now, angel of the sky. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. Read the fourth, sing the fourth verse. Humility, thou surely see a perfect love so deep. Thy crystal water cover me, my helpless soul to keep. Oh, may thy bless abode with me now, angel of the sky. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. Okay, thank the Lord. So you see how important humility is. But we have to have a change of mind. Our mindset needs to change. We need to humble ourselves. Do you know there's a scripture that says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I believe you read that. It's our part. You know, in order to be humble, we have to do something to be humble. We have to humble ourselves. And I'll tell you how to do this. Sometimes you do something. Say, you do something and somebody comes to you and say, wow, you drew a picture, for instance. And somebody say, wow, that picture is so beautiful. Now, the enemy will make you kind of think, you know, kind of smile and inside you get to feeling kind of good and all of this. But what you should do is rebuke the enemy and say, well, you know, I'm glad you like it, but I know it was only God that helped me to be able to do it. And when you roll that off on the Lord, you're not taking that praise in and gloating, but you're leaving it to the Lord. That's humility. Let's go to Colossians 3 and 12. That's how to humble yourself.
Colossians 3 and 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Put on. That means I'm putting an effort to have a humble mind. Humbleness of mind. It's not, you're just not born with it. And it's not just going to happen automatically. But we can put it on. We can put some effort. We resist the thoughts of arrogance and our who we are and, you know, I'm a clay and, you know, you don't mess with the clays or stuff like that. But I belong to the Lord, so whatever I have to submit it to God. So we want to put on humble, those different qualities, but humbleness of mind is one of them. I believe that it's going to take that to get into the kingdom of God. To certain amount of humility takes for us to humble ourselves to get saved. You know, many times people don't get saved because of their pride. And sometimes we have to, you know, I those people just too common. I don't like to live like that. I'm used to, you know, this, that, and the other. We have to humble ourselves, put on those things. So humility is so important. It's just a must. You know, some things you have, you can have, and it's okay. But then there are some things we call a must have. And humility is one of them. Let's go to Acts 20 and 19. This is an example of Paul. He says how he carried himself.
It says, serve the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which repel me by the lying and way of the Jews.
Okay, yes, that's Paul. He's telling how that he served the Lord with all humility of mind. It's something we gotta work on a daily basis, because the enemy's standing right on our shoulder trying to whisper little things of how important you are and how this and all that. And we have to resist it. We have humility of mind, knowing I'm not anything. Do you know what it might feel like? For instance, a minister preach a message, and a lot of people get saved. Don't you know they got to fight against the devil? The devil make them think, you know?
You got it.
Yes. Right. They have to fight. We have to fight to a lot of times to give the message, and then if there is any result, we got to fight the devil to try to make you think you something. No, he said he served the Lord with all humility of mind. And this is what we do. Whatever we do for the Lord, we want to have humility of mind. But I want us to look at some examples in the scripture. How that having humility is good. But also, if you don't have it, it's not good. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15 and verses 16 and 17. This is Saul. There was a point when we read about King Saul, we know that his life ended in misery. But it didn't start out that way. And he was humble at the beginning of his kingship. Two verses we want to read.
1 Samuel
15.
15.
And verse 16 and 17.
Verse 16 and 17. You got it, Sarah?
1 Samuel 15, 16 and 17. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night.
Okay, stop. What happened to this? This is what happened. God gave Saul a job to do. He did not do it like God gave him to do it. He did it his way. Or he did it what he blamed the people. But he being the king, you might as well say he did it his way. And God was not pleased with him. So Samuel now is telling him how that how he was and what God had done for him when he was humble. Read it.
And he said unto him, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought a...
Okay, you can stop. He didn't accept it. He kept saying what he did do. And all the time, he had not obeyed the Lord. But he was trying to fix it where it looked like he did. So, when thou was little in thine own eyes. In other words, when you were humble, God made you king. He made you head of the tribes of Israel. And he gave you a job to do. But he didn't do it. Because he was lifted up in pride. Sometimes the Lord people start out good because they're humble and they start out good and God can use you. God cannot use a proud person. But if you're humble, he can use you. And so he did. But then his life ended in disaster. We're going to come back to him. I want us to look at Solomon. 1 Kings 3, read 5, start at verse 5.
At 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, I have shown unto thy servant David, my father, greatness, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept him with great kindness. This great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in.
Look at that attitude he had. I'm just a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. And he told him, the Lord told him, ask what you want. Read on, go down to 14.
And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked for or asked the life of thy enemy, the life of thine enemy, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lord, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in thy way, and if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will strengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a thing. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants.
See, he felt he was just a child. He didn't even feel worthy to be king over this great nation of people. And with that humility, and he just asked for wisdom, God gave him, he became the most wise man that ever lived. But he didn't stay that way either. At the end, we see that he veered off. But God gave him that because he had a humble spirit and a humble mind. And so when we think about God, I have several more scriptures, but when we think about what God will do for us and the blessings that we're going to receive, it's going to take humility to have it. And I want us to be encouraged that when things go bad or when things are not going the way, humble ourselves. Get as low, the lower we get, the more we'll be with God and the more he'll bless our lives. Pray for me.